This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Ah, praise the Lord. And Josie had that word just earlier about if you're feeling, you know, cut off and separated and that, really get together with somebody. She gave that word, you know, the scripture says, He brought my soul out of prison that I might praise his name. The righteous shall encompass me about, circle me about. And I just encourage you with that. Really get together with, you know, he's put us together to encourage one another and to build one another up. And, you know, we often look at, say, sins of commission, sins that we've done, but there are a lot of sins of omission, all the one another's that we should do. That's part of the reason we are not to forsake the gathering of ourselves together, connecting together so that we can do all the one another's, love one another, rebuke one another, admonish one another, care for one another. It's all part of it. And, you know, to say that you love God and but don't like people, well, there's something wrong with that. You can't love God without the love of Christ compelling us to reach out to others and to share what great things he has done for us. And we all have times when we're down and we need somebody to pick us up. And that what says in Proverbs there, you know, if one's alone and he falls and there's no one to pick him up, that's a tragedy. But if two are together and one falls, the other one can pick him up. So I encourage you with that. Pray for one another. Pray for one another. Pray for one another. We really need to be doing that. I want to continue on with what I started to share with a couple of weeks ago about to the power supply. Remember, we talked about the power being cut off at the church. I was reminded about power supply actually just last night. Bev was cooking some pumpkin soup and it was very nice. And so we had the heater going, pretty full on. It was nice and warm in the house and Bev's cooking this pumpkin soup. Looking forward to that, and I thought, well, take some round to Mum. So I give Mum a call, said, you haven't started cooking your meal yet, how about some pumpkin soup? She said, oh, yes, please. So hot off the press, so I get this bowl of pumpkin soup, take it round to Mum's, knocking on the door there, and she's got the lights are all out. Well, she's got all the lights out, but she's trying to save on a fuel bill or something like that. Anyway, she comes to the door and there's no power. Praise God, you've got a fire there, Mum. She's got a wood burner, so she had some heat in the house. That was good. And some hot soup as well, anyway. So, but it made me think again that how important the power supply is, particularly in winter, you know. How many had your power supply off and shivered in the cold? There's a few people experienced that. Well, you know, I was talking about the power supply where Paul in Romans 1, he talks of it. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. And that it's the message of the cross. The message of the cross is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. And often, you know, in Christian circles, we can learn all the ABCs of how to do something, all the 1, 2, 3 steps for success. All of those things we can learn. I'm not knocking them. But what I'm saying is what we've got to realize, it has nothing to do with us. when we were helpless, when we were without strength, Christ died. In fact, while we were enemies of God, Christ died for us. God demonstrates the love that he has for us in that while we were enemies, we were dead and enemies of God, Jesus Christ came and died for us on the cross. And, you know, I talked about we can have a tremendous power supply, but if you don't connect to it, it's not going to do you any good. And Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians, he says to the Corinthians that when he came to them, he had determined in his heart and in his mind that he would only know one thing when he preached the gospel to them. And he said, I determined that I wasn't going to come in any of my own ability. I wasn't going to lean on my own understanding. But he said, I was with you in weakness and in fear. He said, I was trembling. I was in so much fear, I was trembling. He said that I wanted to know one thing amongst you, and that was Jesus Christ and him crucified. And, you know, I thought about that when he thinks that he just wanted to know one thing amongst them, Jesus Christ and him crucified. And if you use the cross as a filter to how we see life, I tell you, you can only ever see victory. If you use the cross as your filter to how you see your family, how you see your workplace, how you see men, women, everywhere. That's why the scripture says the love of Christ compels us, because we judge this. If you're going to judge something, it's how you see life. We judge this, that if one man died, then all died. That from now on, we're not going to judge people according to the flesh. We're not going to look at them and say, well, you know, he's a good person, but that's a really bad person. You know, don't we do that? How we justify ourselves by saying, well, I'm not as bad as that person. It's a wrong way of looking at things. God wants us to look at people. He wants us to look at circumstances through the cross. Jesus Christ died for all men everywhere. God is not willing that any man should perish. I want you to think about Stephen, the first martyr in the Bible. Here's a man, Paul, or Saul, he was called at that time. Saul, an incredibly zealous Pharisee, was literally going out, dragging Christians to prison. I don't know what he was doing, but forcing them to renounce Christ. And he was dragging them off to prison. And here he is. He's going to kill Stephen. And they're dragging him out and they're stoning him to death. And, you know, think about what Stephen said. Stephen, while he preached Jesus to all the Jews that were judging him, Paul was there as well, judging him. He's preaching Jesus Christ and what he has done for all men everywhere. And they drag him out to stone him to death. And while he's being stoned, man, I don't know how you can even think. You're dying being stoned. I don't know how you can think. But he had looked up to heaven. He saw Jesus at the right hand of God. And what does he say? How did he see people? He said, Father, don't lay this sin to their charge. He saw them through the cross. Even while he's getting stoned to death, he saw them through the cross. And his heart was, have mercy on them. You know, it says in the Bible that the blood of Jesus cries out mercy. What did Abel's blood cry out? It cried out for what? Vengeance. When Cain killed him, God said, Abel's blood is crying out from the ground for vengeance. Well, the Bible says that Jesus' blood cries out mercy, forgiveness. How incredible is that? That's what happens when we look to the cross. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. It's the message of the cross. When we begin to preach Christ. So we need to connect. So I talked about connecting to the power supply. There is no shortage of power. In fact, the Bible says that we need a revelation of the exceeding greatness of his power that's available to us. Why? Because we believe. Where does believing come from? It comes by believing that he came, he paid the price for every one of us. He was buried and then he rose again from the dead. That's the message. Why did he die? He died for every one of us. He died for all of our sins. That no more judgment's coming. God wants to bring mercy. He wants to bring forgiveness. He wants to bring healing and deliverance to all men everywhere because he's not willing that any should perish. What I want is for you to get the passion of God, the heart of God. We often think God is somebody who's extremely zealous to judge people. Yes, he is judge. But I tell you where his zeal lies, it lies in his love to justify people, to forgive people, to heal people, to cleanse them. And he wants us to have that same passion so that where sin may be abounding in a person's life or a situation's life, we want to be a people who tap into the grace of God that much more abounds. Well, I'm talking about that power of God that's available. It doesn't matter how bad you think your family might be, family members or friends or enemies. We're to love our enemies, do good, no matter how bad they might be. God's power is available to heal them, to forgive them, because it's a message of the cross. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, not just the good people who believe, but the bad people who believe. Hallelujah. Our connection to the power of God, it's the Holy Spirit. God wants us conduits to be conduits for his power, but if we're not connected, it's not going to flow. And just if in case you think, well, I've really got to build up my spiritual life before I can allow the power of God to flow, well, let me just pull that down. He gives power to the weak, to those who have no might. He increases strength. So God's the opposite. He looks the opposite. He looks for the things that are despised. He looks for the weak things. He looks for the things that are not. So that what happens when people say, well, I know that person. I know that person. And I tell you what, I know the power that's flowing through them is not them. It's God. It's God. He gets all the glory. When we're weak, that's when we're strong. Because when we're the most dependent upon him. I looked at the word connected. To connect means to be linked together. To join, to fasten. Linked together, joined, fastened. You know, like electric wires, you know, to get the power flowing, you've got to connect them together. If they're not connected, if they're not linked, well, the power won't flow. Well, God wants us connected with him, linked together with him, and that's what the cross is all about. When he died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. When he rose again from the dead, I rose again from the dead. So what the scripture says is true. I don't care about my circumstance. What the scripture says is true. It is no longer I who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm a new creation. Get connected. You don't get connected by any of your good works. You get connected by the cross. a revelation of what he has done, not what you have done or what you haven't done. It is what he has done. Get your eyes off of yourself and onto him. You know, the Bible says that every mountain will be brought down, every valley will be lifted up. And I just call that the pride of man that goes both ways, where we say, I can do anything, I can do it all, I'm a master of my own destiny, I can do whatever I want. Or somebody who says, I can't do anything, I'm the lowliest of the low, I'm just scum. To me, that's just pride in the reverse. It's all about me. Great me or useless me. Let's get I out of the question. It's no longer I who lives, but it's Christ who's alive in me. You see, we think the devil's, he's not the problem, he's been defeated. How do I know that? Well, Jesus rose from the dead. What did he say to his disciples? All authority, all power is given to me. Where? In heaven and on the earth. Is that true? Yes. Who's in control? Who rules? Jesus is on the throne. He rules. He's in control. Well, that's something to shout about. That's something to be happy about. He rules. He's on the throne. I'm absolutely secure because he's on the throne. No one can pluck me out of the palm of his hand. Hallelujah. He's my salvation. He's the one who loves me. Hallelujah. You can be absolutely confident. He's the one that has raised us up. Connect. It means to be linked together, join, to fasten. And that's what the cross does. That's what Jesus has done. How do we appropriate it? By hard works, by careful study? No, just by believing, just by hearing and believing. How do we hear? We just tell people what Jesus has done and who he did it for. All men everywhere. You can live a new life. You can be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit by faith in what Jesus Christ has done. Linked together, to join, to fasten. That word, our English word connect, it comes from the Latin. It means to, and this is really interesting, it means to bind together or to tie, to bind together, to tie. Well, very interesting. What does it say about, in Isaiah 40, have you not known? Have you not heard? Hasn't it been told you that the Lord, the God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, he never gets weary. He never tires. There's no searching of his power. And what does he gives power to the weak. He says even the youths are going to get weary. You know, isn't in our culture, youth is put up there. Used to be age. Now it's youth. You know, people feel miserable if they're not a youth anymore. If they see the grey hairs coming, so try to paint and get rid of them. Guys don't do that. Oh, they do, actually, but anyway. But yeah, let keep on track, David. Stay on track. Through, even the youths are going to get weary and they'll faint. But those who what? What's that word? Those who wait. Do you know that Hebrew word? It means to tie together, to be entwined. It's talking about connecting, those who wait. You know, the message of the cross is foolishness to the Greeks. Why? Because they're really into wisdom, got to work everything out. And it was crazy to the Romans. Why? Because they had strength, incredible strength. You know, any opposition, just wipe them out. Get the military there and wipe them out. Trample them. Deal with it. And to the Jews, it was blasphemy. You can't have your God being crucified, dying. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. They couldn't picture him dying. That was blasphemy. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Those who wait upon the Lord. Now, is that just killing time? You know, waiting, come on, God, come and do something, tapping your feet, you know, twiddling your thumbs, waiting for God to do something. No, it's actually getting entwined with him. It's getting connected with him. You know, our biggest problem is not that the power supply isn't available. Our biggest problem is connecting it because we don't wait. We don't know how to wait because usually we get connected when something goes wrong and we try to deal with it in our own strength. We try to solve it. We do everything that we can think of to do and nothing helps. And then when we've given up all hope of being able to do it ourselves, then we're open to seeing what God has done. Is that right? A person who knows he can't do anything to help himself will find it easier to wait on the Lord. We don't wait because we're flat out trying to solve the problem ourselves, trying to do it ourselves. And God says, those who wait. And that's why it's usually the weak, usually the ones that have lost any hope of being able to do anything themselves, find it easier to wait and connect with God. And so here we are, a church. God's wanting his power. Remember, one of the scriptures I read out was 2 Timothy 3, where it talks about in the last days that men would be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and that they would have a form of godliness, but there was no power. We would go through all the forms, we would sing the songs, we would read the scripture, we would have our prayer meetings, we'd be doing our good works, all of those things, but there's no power. You go into a home and there's no power, there's no heat there, there's no warmth there, there's no light there. It's a nice home, but it needs power, particularly in winter, particularly when it's dark. You need power. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And the only way it's going to come is through the cross. Get a revelation of the cross, what he has done. And when we realize that he 100% identified, we've sung the songs this morning, he was forsaken, I'm accepted. He was rejected, I've got it all back to front here. He was rejected, I'm accepted. He was bruised, I'm healed. Peace was taken away from him. I have peace that he said can never be taken away. That's the power of God, the salvation to everyone who believes. He wants us connected to him. And when we realize as a church that our job is to wait on the Lord, that's why it's called a house of prayer. We can do prayer. We can be flat out praying, but not connecting. Because it's all about us connecting with him and dealing with the I issue, which the cross does. It's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. So isn't that our first port of call? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You have done amazing things. We've heard that in the worship, in the words that come. You have done incredible things. And it's almost like there's a sob in our heart because we can't believe that he would be so merciful, so kind to a wretch like me. Well, he's wanting us to go on and realize that that love is going to compel you. So with joy, you're going to lay down your life to see others saved. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. In his presence is fullness of joy. So that we rejoice, as Peter said, with joy unspeakable. And I nearly spat my teeth out. And full of glory. Hallelujah. 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 The cross connects us with God. No other way. If something connects one thing to another, or if one thing connects to another, the two things are joined together. We are the ones that are waiting on the Lord, and then he demonstrates his power. The Holy Spirit, he's the power. He's the Holy Spirit comes. We can have all these things, but unless we're connected, I've told you the power source, told you how wonderful it is. There's nothing that he can't do. He said, only believe, all things are possible. No wonder haven't we heard this for years? You know, God can do anything, God can do anything. But when you don't connect to the power, then it just becomes words. And if we don't experience it, if we just have a form of it and there's no power, we're denying the power. When I read the scripture, here's Philip, he goes to Samaria and he preaches what? He preaches Christ to them. And there's great power and there's great joy in that city as they receive him, as they receive Jesus Christ. And then the disciples, Peter and James and John, come down from Jerusalem and they come to pray for them that they might receive what? The Holy Spirit. And that's what Jesus has given for us. That's our connection. He went and received the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. He's the power of God that flows because of the cross. What does the Holy Spirit do? I just want to read us in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Paul is talking to the Galatians. They're getting hung up in trying to perfect themselves. They're not looking to the cross. And they're trying to fulfill all these rules and regulations and laws, trying to get themselves perfected that way. And Galatians 3, verse 1, he says, "Foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain?" And verse 5, this is what he said, "Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" That's the question. Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? See, the hearing of faith has nothing to do with your works. The hearing of faith has everything to do with his work. "It is finished," he cried on the cross. By one offering, the offering of himself, he has perfected forever those who are being saved. That's done. The perfection has been done on the cross. We find that hard to believe, don't we? Because we look at ourselves and think, well, if that's true, look at me. Well, stop looking at you. Keep looking at him. That's where you keep looking. That's the issue. Where are you looking? Because if you'll look to him, he'll deal with the eye issue. If you look to him, he'll supply the power issue. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. We often look to him, "Oh, I got saved. Oh, I remember that years ago. Gee, that was wonderful." Well, why did you stop looking? Why did you stop looking? Keep looking to him. That's where you're focused. My focus should continually be, and he will continue that work. He will supply the Spirit. What the devil tries to do is distract us. Look to yourself. Isn't that what he did to Jesus through Peter? Jesus, where's Jesus? He's heading for the cross. He's fixed his eyes, fixed his attention to the cross. That's what God called him to do. And Peter drags him aside. Oh, this is like a death wish in this guy. Drags him aside and said, "This is not going to happen to you. Think of yourself." And he rebukes the devil that was speaking through Peter. Look to Jesus. We're to take up our cross, follow him. What's the cross deal with? Self. And how do we carry it? We say, "He's already died for me. I'm dead man. I'm following him." Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit comes because of what he has done. That's why he's here. The Holy Spirit is here. He's been speaking already. And God wants to release. What I want to do is for each of you to start stirring up the gift that's in you. God's want to use you. And it's not about you, it's about him and what he has done. That's why he wants to use you. The Holy Spirit comes because of what Jesus Christ has done. That's why he comes. Not because you're praying extra hard, not because you're in wonderful unity. He's already made us one. Already done it. Already done it. Already done it. And we say, oh, well, if that's the case, look, how come there's all this stuff happening? No, he's already done it. We are already made one. All we have to do is keep that unity. Just walk in it. Because it's true. It's already done. Why do we pray? We pray because he's already done it. We're not saying, God, can you do something? He's already demonstrated he can. Whatever things you ask for when you pray, believing, you shall receive. Hallelujah. We're focused on him. What happens? Faith comes. We know what to pray. The Holy Spirit comes to make Jesus real. That's his whole job. He'll come and he'll take what Jesus has and reveal it to us. What did Jesus say? Everything the Father has is mine. Therefore, I say to you, the Holy Spirit will show to you, will take what is mine and reveal it to you. He wants to operate those gifts. I've just written them down. We're going to finish right now. But the manifestation, says in 1 Corinthians 12, that someone can, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Are you in each one? I'm in each one. Each one of us is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the benefit of all. Word of wisdom, faith. Gee, that's amazing when you get this gift of faith and you just know that you know. How many have experienced that? Could be for you, could be for somebody else. You just know. You just know. All the stress, all the striving is gone. You've just got this gift of faith. There's gifts of healing. Boy, don't we need that? I've been saying this promise that when God, Psalm 105, when he brought his people out of Egypt, out of prison, out of bondage, the Bible says there was not one feeble amongst them. Not one. There's gifts of healing here. There's gifts of healing here. Prophecy. Speaking the heart and mind of God. Isn't that good when you hear the mind and the heart of God? You know what he's telling you to do. There's a clarity. Discerning of spirits. Boy, that's a needful one. The devil's a liar and his lies need to be exposed. Discerning of spirits. Different kinds of tongues. Interpretation of tongues. All gifts that the Lord wants to flow. There's gifts of helps. There's some gifts of administration, gifts of leadership. There are so many of them that are here in this place and he wants us to operate. He wants his power to flow so that we're not a church that has a form of godliness but denies the power.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.com.